Cool. Good morning, everyone. It's lucky to be back. We've been away for about 2 and a bit more weeks, or 3 Sundays, which feels very long. And so, but excited to be back, excited for what God wants to come and do. So, this morning, as we come into the time of the Word, just the things that we've been dealing with, I mentioned it now, is we just come out of Easter and come out of Good Friday, the day that Jesus got crucified, and then the resurrection 3 days later, and we are heading towards our way to Pentecost. And what happened was, like, this is just the process of, in some sense, of Jesus' life and the things that happened around him and around his disciples. And the time that we are in is like 40 days where after Jesus rose from the dead, where he was spending time with the disciples. And for some reason, there's not much that we've been given about this 40 days. It's like, it must have been so good that they kept it secret. And maybe God said something, or Jesus said something to them about this time. We don't know. But there's actually one scripture that mentions this. And we're going to look at that today, just a little bit on that scripture that mentions the 40 days where Jesus was with the disciples. For most of the Gospels, they kind of just run through it almost as if it's like this successive moment of where Jesus reveals himself coming out of the grave and then spends a little bit of time with them and then ascends into heaven. But that's not what happened. If you read in Acts, and we're going to get there just now, you see there was 40 days. And I want to look a bit at that today and just what that means for us. And this morning, I'm going to ask us a couple of questions, okay? So I'm going to ask a couple of questions for you to think about. And it's more for you to consider and to reflect in your own heart of where you are at. And I want to start off this morning by asking you this question. How real is the resurrection to you? Like, I know we celebrate it. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Good Friday. It is within the calendar of the Christian church. It's one of those big pillar moments. But my question to you this morning is, how real is the resurrection to you? Like, what effect does it have in your life today? Maybe even this morning, as you woke up, got ready for church, what thought has crossed your mind regarding the resurrection of Jesus? And I think it's important to find some form of consolidation of one's thoughts and heart and thinking around this, because it will change, I believe, the way that you live if this is vital to your life. And it's meant to do that. It's meant to be one of the pivotal points around our faith, as in who is Jesus, is the resurrection. We always see this picture of 3 guys on a cross, and 1 thief and a robber on the other side of Jesus. And we know the one kind of ridiculed Jesus. He said to Jesus when he was on the cross, like, hey, if you really are who you say you are, why did you get us off here? He's trying to get his way out of the coming doom. But the other one was going like, no. If you are who you say you are, please would you remember me? Please would you think of me? So it was 3 people on a cross that day. But 3 days later, there's only one of them that stood up out of the grave. And for much of us as Christians, a lot of our focus is the cross, and rightfully so. But I want to tell you this, that without the resurrection, the cross would just be another wooden beam. Another moment where someone died that did something Whether it was true, whether it was false, whether they were guilty, whether they were innocent, doesn't matter. It would have just been another moment. But the resurrection, the fact that Jesus stood up out of the grave, that changed everything. And it changed it for good reason. And that change is not just for Jesus, but because it was for Jesus, it means that it's for you just as much important. Let's look at it quickly. I think I'm running ahead of myself here a little bit. Just quickly, one scripture, it's not going to be up there, but 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, and he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and our faith is useless." So if Christ was not raised from the dead, then everything that we do, all of this Christian faith, it is basically the same as everything else before that moment, where it was this hope for something, but no one yet knows. It hasn't not yet been proven. But the moment Jesus was raised from the dead, everything that Jesus has said in his life, everything that he preached, that he talked about, in that moment, it was proven to be true. And that is meant to have an effect on me and on you. And so let's quickly look at it. Luke 24, verse 35. And I'm going to read quite a portion of scripture here. Reading out of the NLT, you can follow it there. "Then the two from Emmaus told this story of how Jesus had appeared to them, and they were walking along the road, and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them." Remember, they're still under the impression that Jesus is dead. Okay? That's, "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see I do." And as he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Crazy, crazy moment. Like, the last 3 days have been pandemonium for them. Because they followed Jesus, and all the while following him, there was this hope for him to be the Savior, to be the Messiah. And man, everything he did, and when he spoke, and when he drove out demons, and healed people, and provided food, and walked on water, all these things seemed to point to this direction, that this is actually it. This is the moment where we're going to see our Savior stepping onto the plate. I mean, we know, we've heard it enough times, that they were looking for something different than what Jesus was presenting. Amen? So we know this. But still, the expectation was a Messiah. And in a moment, Jesus, betrayed by one of his own, all of the things that he did, all of the wonders, the miracles, the healing, everything that he said, all of a sudden came crashing down, because here is Jesus right now on a cross, and we are seeing this Messiah, this Savior, this one that has been told in prophecies of thousands of years on this cross before us. And it seems right now like all of those things are just slipping away, because here he's on a cross. And we can physically see him breathing his last breath. Can you imagine the days after Jesus' crucifixion, what they've been thinking about, what's been going on in their heads. It was like, how could this happen? How could this be? Like, I thought it was real. Like, everything was there. We saw it, we heard it, we felt it, we tasted it. We've seen it. How could this be? Man, we can speak about it, but in some ways I feel like, even for myself, I go like, I can't really place myself in that moment of where the amount of hopelessness that there must have been. And here, the two guys and a few people are walking on a road, and all of a sudden, the very man that they saw on a cross, breathing his last breath, being folded up into a cloth and burial, like being put in a tomb. They saw him go in. They saw him being put away. All of a sudden, this man is standing right there next to them, talking to them. What a moment. What a moment. And then he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be worried. I'm not a ghost. Touch me. Feel me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Still, and this is what it says, verse 41, still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Because in the one moment, he is everything we wanted. He's everything we've heard about. He's everything we've dreamt about. He's everything that our forefathers and our people have been talking about for thousands of years. And now he's standing in front of us. But we saw him die. It's like that place of hopelessness and just absolute wonder. It's like, this can't be. I mean, I can understand why they were still so confused as to what is happening right now. And then Jesus said to them, hey, do you have anything here for me to eat? It's like he just puts the nail in the coffin. Going like, I'm going to prove to you I'm not a ghost. I am true. Give me something to eat. I'm hungry. I've been dead for a few days. I don't know if he said that. So he just said, can I have anything to eat? That's what he said. Okay. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Man, I would have given him a steak. Okay. And he ate it as they watch. It's like these oaks were like gobsmacked. It's like, he's real. He's here. Look, he's eating. He is right here. He's eating. Guys, he was dead. He's sitting here in front of us and he's eating. And it might seem to us like, oh, obviously, Rian. Like, we see one another eat every single day. But when last have you seen a dead person eat? Anyone? And I'm not trying to make this funny, or trying to play it down. Like, I just want to give us the real picture here. There was a dead man sitting in front of them, eating. More alive than any one of them watching him eating. More alive than any of them watching him eating. Why am I saying that? Because it was Jesus. Came through death and stood up out of the grave by the power of God. And that thought of him sitting there eating, they were painfully and joyfully and I want to say wonderful, but not in the sense of, oh, you look so wonderful. Wonderful in the sense of, my mind is blown right now that I knew you died, but yet here you sit in front of me and you are eating. Their minds are just going, I cannot comprehend this that is happening in front of my eyes. And it was such a pivotal moment. It was such a moment that was ingrained in their hearts and imprinted into their minds. That on that moment, they realized that everything that he has said, everything that he has done, everything that he's gone through, that they see him do, the people, all of a sudden, it's not just wondering whether he is the Messiah. No, now it is a thing of they know that truly he must be the Son of God. Truly, this is not, it's not a wonder and a hope and an if and a man who we wish it could be. No, it is. Look at him. He's sitting there. He's eating. So I'm going to ask you again today. What effect has the resurrection in your life? Is Jesus still asking you, hey, look here, touch me, feel me, I'm real? Does he still need to ask you, do you have something to eat for me? Or is there something of a seeing and an understanding and a knowing that, man, he is alive. He's no longer in the grave. It's not an if. It's not a would have, should have, could have. Man, I hope it would be true. Jesus is alive. And he is with me. And this morning, I want to say to you, that is his heart for you and for me. That you and me, just like for those people on the road to Emmaus, that we would know and be confident of this, that we would know that he is alive. That he is no longer dead. It's not a hope it would be true. Could it be true? Man, I wish it would be true. No, he is alive. And he is not just alive for just everyone and the sake of everyone. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than the sake of everyone. No, he is alive because you are here, because I am here, and he wants me to know, and he wants you to know that he is alive for you. For you to know him, to touch him, to be with him, to walk with him. He is alive to show you that everything that he said is true. Everything that he said is there for you to take hold of because he's proven it to be true. And that's what the resurrection did. It proved him to be true. And then he said, verse 44, when I was with you before, speaking before he got crucified, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. Why? Because he wanted them to know this is true. It's like previously you didn't understand. Previously you didn't know. He would speak about the fact that he's going to die. He would speak about the fact that he's going to go with the Father. And they would just go like, what do you mean with these things? And here he goes and he opens up scripture so that they can see. verse 46, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness," and this is the message, "there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all of these things." Like, his aim was to prove that what he said is true. And what he said was that there is a forgiveness of sins for all those who repent. For all those who acknowledge him as the Son of God. For all of those who acknowledge him as the one that has risen, the one who has died and that 3 days later has risen, to all those, there's a forgiveness of sins. Previously, if they have said, if Jesus said, "Hey, I am with my Father and there's a lot of space for you with my Father," there was just no concept of this. No concept of understanding what would this look like, what would this mean. But now, understanding that it's not Jew and Gentile, it's all people, that he's come to save all people. Like, there's something here of going like, whoa, we can understand something now, because everything that he said is now proven to be true. And therefore, there's something for us to step into, something for us to take hold of. How much is this resurrection of Jesus playing a part in your life? Or are we still living at the cross? You see, the thing is, his heart for you and his heart for me is not that we stay at the cross. Just like he didn't stay at the cross. He moved beyond the cross. His heart for you and me is that we would understand what we have in him, what he has showed us to be true, what he's proven in what he said that he's promised us, and that we would take hold of that and move forward with that. And that's what he says to the disciples here. He says to him, "There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all of these things." And then he promises this to them. And I mean, I think the way that they heard the promise of the Holy Spirit was much different than what they heard anything else before that point. Because now they see that Jesus is a man of his word. Jesus is who he says he is. The things that Jesus said he would do, he has done. And so now, when Jesus says to them, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." The way they heard that was not a coulda, woulda, shoulda, really hope for kind of way. Jesus said it. Jesus is out of the grave. He's sitting here, he's eating, he's alive. And Jesus said it. So we will wait. Acts 1, verse 1 to 3 says this. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." And what's happening here is Luke, who writes the book of Acts, is basically just establishing something of his authorship on the book of Acts. Okay? And so he wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote Acts. And so in the first few verses of Luke, you'll see also him speaking to Theophilus. It was 2 letters that he sent to him. And in verse 3, he speaks of Jesus and he says, "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Speaking to them about who he is, what he is doing, what he wants to do, what he needs them to do. And the effect of this, so the majority of it, we see the New Testament come out. This is what the church needs to look like. This is what the exploits of the church, this is what happened as the kingdom of God came into the world with this message that Jesus is alive. That Jesus has come. He stood up out of the grave to come and forgive sins and reconcile a lost people back to their Father. So I want to ask you again, what does the resurrection mean to you? See, we come to church, and most of us, and me, I would acknowledge very easily, for the longest of times, we come to church hoping that this morning I'm going to come to church, I'm going to grab my seat, and as I find my seat, and we hopefully worship is going to be good. They're going to sing the songs that I love, not repeating the songs that I don't like too much. Because really, I want to meet with God. And then we come and we sit in a preach, hoping that the preacher has done a whole lot of work so that on Sunday morning, he can give me the 5 keys to having a great life. To sorting out all my issues that I have. Thanks, Shannon. But man, let him not give me that. There's a reason why I'm sitting here. Because I don't want this ball. He needs to have the ball. No. For me, I want to be able to just walk into it. Like when I read the scripture, when I read what the resurrection means, and what it presents, I don't see a disciples or a people that is waiting for someone to save them. I see a people that realize Jesus is alive. I've been saved. Jesus is alive. He's changed my life. Jesus truly is alive. He's sitting there. He's eating. He's alive. It's something that burns within me. I don't come to receive. I come to give. Why? Because I've been given. I've been given the thing that is taken from me and taken from me. The sin and the things of this world that has stolen so much out of my life. So much joy. Brought so much pain. So much difficulty. That has been taken away and I've been given life. Because look there, Jesus is sitting there. He's alive. He can take away your sins. Guys, look there, he's sitting. Just ask him to take a moment, take a break from eating his broiled fish. Worst thing ever. Ask him to take away your sins. Because look there, look at his hands. Sorry, Stefan. Look at his hands. He's got holes in it. Well, what do we do? We see Jesus sitting there, alive and well, and eating. We go, Jesus, can you give me some of that broiled fish, please? I can't think of a worse thing they could have fed him. It feels like he is trying to make a statement. Or giving him broiled fish. We would settle for the broiled fish and miss out on the one who is able to forgive sins. the one who has come to save the world. And today we're sitting here, and my prayer and my desire in my heart is that we will be consumed with the resurrection. That as we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we think about is not, oh, these things and those things and that person and man, this issue and Jesus is alive. He is alive. Jesus is alive. And he said that he's going to be alive. I didn't believe him. But then 3 days later, he showed me that it's true. And then he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I believed him. Because Jesus is alive. I'm sorry if I sound like a stuck record. But can I tell you this morning? Jesus is alive. I wish you can take out your phone. Maybe do that. Let's get all technological on us. Get out your phone. Everybody's got a phone here. And put on your selfie cam. I know we all love it. It's where your camera goes in anyway. So you don't need to put it on. And look at yourself. Look at yourself. And then say to yourself, in a way where you believe it, Jesus is alive. But look at your face. Does your face tell you? Is your face believable? Do you believe your own face? My hope is that we would be those that say, Jesus, he's alive. Not just, thanks, Shannon. You're going to get a number one fan, okay, badge. Not just to people, but to ourselves. Because see, if we don't do it, we're going to continue coming every Sunday, waiting for that thing that's going to change our lives. Not realizing he has already changed your life. Not realizing that actually there's something for you to experience even more in him. The disciples just got him. And then he goes like, hey guys, 40 days with you, I'm out. I can't actually stay with you. You need to go back because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And what do? They didn't waver again and go, oh, Jesus is, he's left us again. No, they went to the place where he said to them, go and be there, go and wait. And they prayed and they sat and they waited until the Holy Spirit came. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He proved himself. And at that moment, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus promised them this. Well, Jesus promised them to go and wait. And he said, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And so they were going like, you are alive. We are excited for your kingdom to come because we realize now you are the Son of God. So, hey man, come on, let's get this going. And Jesus is going like, whoa, 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 whoa. You are way too quick on that. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. I want to say to you today, Jesus is alive. But he's not actually just alive so that you can sit and go, cool, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I've got my pass. No, he's alive so that you can believe him, take hold of his Holy Spirit who he has given so that you can go into all the world, into Judea, Samaria, and all the corners of the world and tell people about this very thing that Jesus truly is alive. You're not meant here to sit. I think one of the biggest things why we as Christians find things so difficult sometimes is because we're still so stuck in the fact that I think we're stuck at the cross. We're not moving beyond the fact that Jesus is alive and he's called us to go. See, I want to be able to say here this morning, who has got something to share? What did God do in your life this week that we are desperately wanting to know? What did God do? Did he speak to you? Did he cause you to pray for someone? Did he cause you to tell someone about him? Did he show you his goodness, his provision? What did God do? Because see, if all of us have been given the Holy Spirit, if all of us are called to be witnesses, then it means when we come together, we're not waiting for someone to give us something, but we come ready because we've been given something already. We've been shown something. We come to encourage. We come to say, man, you won't believe this is what God has done. We were away now when we were away and all this time that we were away. And there was a moment we were sitting on a bus and a couple of things happened. I don't want to make a story long. And there was this kind of like 20-something-year-old girl. And she was on the phone with her dad. And as she was speaking to her dad, we were kind of having a conversation with one another across some rows. And this girl kind of like was talking to her dad and listening to our conversation. And then kind of chipping in and showing some pictures of what we're talking about. And as she did that, just something in my heart dropped for this girl. And now she's still on the phone and the bus stops and you kind of get off. And I realize, oh, shucks, she's still on the phone. I'm not going to have opportunity to pray for her. And so the people that I'm with, I said, hey, I think Pips or Junie was with me. And I said, hey, can you take the girls home? I will get you guys at home. And so I get off the train and the bus and follow this girl down the street. I'm pretty sure that didn't look weird. Okay. And I said, hey, sorry. And I mean, she was very friendly sitting right there. And the next moment she turns to me and she's like, okay, whoa, why are you here? I'm like, hey, I want to ask you something. Can I pray for you? And man, without a split second of even thinking about it, no. Just no. Like she was like ready with that thing loaded. And she's like, no. I'm like, I know you're on the phone with your dad because you sat right there and you were speaking to us. And then I ask her this, and it's not like I thought of it. It's like, without sounding weird, it's like the Holy Spirit just pushed out these words. And it's like, what do you have to lose? And the moment I said that to her, what do you have to lose? It's like all of a sudden, there's no quick answer. There's like calculating. What do I say now? And then in the lieu of not having anything to say, she said, okay. And I prayed for her and said to her, hey, said to her a couple of things. She had a knee issue, prayed for a knee. I said, I believe that God is going to show you how much he loves you through this thing. And she walked away, never knowing. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know whether God showed her. I don't need to know. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And he said that he's come to save all. That he's come to reach those who are lost. That he's come to pull all men, women, children towards him. It's not about me having to see the outcome. It's about me having to take hold of who he says he is and then do it. And let him determine and bring the outcome. For me, I walked away from that moment so encouraged. I'm like, sure, God, you changed that girl's heart in a moment where she was just like a dead no. Poof. And I go like, what do you have to lose? And she's like, okay. And it might not sound like much to you, but I want to encourage you. Go and try it. Go and try and pray for someone. Have them say no to you. And have them see their hearts changed. And it's not about praying for someone. I believe it's about saying, Jesus, you are alive. We're taking your resurrection as the truth. It's not a fairy tale story. It's not Marvel. It's not a comic book. No, Jesus is alive. He's still alive. He ascended to heaven. He said, I'm coming back. He is still alive. And I believe we are meant to sit here and meant to encourage one another daily about the fact that Jesus is alive in my life. Not just in the Bible, not just in the stories of it. No, he's active and living in my life. And so maybe there we are, if I can ask us, if we can close our eyes.